Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Big Picture Podcast. I'm your host, Bidemi Ologunde. In this episode, I'll be providing new details and some plausible theories on the recent arrest of the well-known Russian CEO of a leading cybersecurity company called Group IB. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. The Russian government will do all it takes to assert its influence and expand its control over cybercrime, and also promote its interest and sometimes the illegal activities that are directed at other states. We now have confirmation of this because on Tuesday, September 28, Russian officials carried out an unannounced search of the Moscow offices of the Russian cybersecurity company Group IB, and then arrested its CEO, Ilya Sachkov, the very next day. Mr. Sachkov now stands accused of treason under Article 275 of the Criminal Code of the Russian Federation. He was placed in jail for 2 months, pending trial, which would likely be extended several times as the authorities collect more evidence. So Mr. Sachkov co-founded Group IB back in 2003 when he was just 17 years old. And in 2016, Forbes included him in its 30 under 30 list. His arrest is significant because Group IB is one of the leading Russian companies in cybersecurity. The company specializes in countering cyber attacks and online fraud and investigating high-tech crimes. The company deals with major clients like Roscosmos, Rostec, Megaphone, Sberbank, Alpha Bank, VTB, Tinkoff, Rostelecom, MTS, Beeline, Avito, TAS, Channel One, and so many others. Group IB is also an official partner of Interpol, Europol, and the OSCE. On top of taking part in these organizations, the company also helps Russian law enforcement to uncover cyber fraud cases inside Russia. So generally speaking, during the course of its normal business activities, Group IB's management tried to maintain neutrality in geopolitical issues. Rather, they just focused their efforts on fighting cybercrime. The risk of such activities was that the investigation of cybersecurity incidents often lead the company to cyber criminals and cyber threat actors who are from the Russian Federation. However, instead of the Russian government to ensure legal accountability, the identified cyber criminals end up being used as pawns in furtherance of specific geopolitical and foreign policy interests. So I'll talk about this more later in the episode. There are many cybersecurity companies all over the world with lots of contracts with government customers. However, where it becomes complicated within Russia is that the separation between government and criminal organizations who are launching ransomware attacks or other types of cyber espionage activities, that separation is often more entangled in Russia than they are in other places. So there's a lot more concern and suspicion that the Russian government is either implicitly or explicitly tolerating these types of cyber criminal activities. Therefore, the question of who these companies are working with and what kinds of crimes they are investigating becomes more complicated. Apparently, because Sachkov's company does business in several countries and is funded with all kinds of foreign capital, he has had to report on the result of cybersecurity investigations to foreign law enforcement agencies, thereby invariably implicating Russian-backed cybercriminals, which therefore hindered the cooperation of Russian officials who are tasked with investigating cybercrime. So this all seems complicated and all tangled with each other, but not really. Stay with us. So we now know that in Russia, disclosing information about identified cybercriminals who have ties to Russian intelligence services, disclosing those information to foreign law enforcement officials will most likely qualify as treason under Russia's newly updated federal laws. So, for example, Mr. Sachkov personally coordinated several investigations that led to the imprisonment of elite Russian cybercriminals, and he was recklessly outspoken in repeatedly emphasizing the inaction of Russian authorities in prosecuting these Russian cybercriminals. During an event that was hosted by the Russian Prime Minister last July of 2020, Mr. Sachkov actually name-checked one particular Russian cybercriminal who has strong ties to the Federal Security Service, the FSB. So more on that later in the episode. What appears to be the final straw was the imposition of sanctions by the US Treasury Department on September 21 on a particular cryptocurrency platform called Suex OTG, which is registered in the Czech Republic, but is actually headquartered in Russia. So that particular platform has several physical exchanges located in Russia, and almost all its shareholders and managers are Russian citizens. So the exchange provides currency transactions, some of which are related to drug trafficking, to cyber criminals who use cyber extortion and ransomware programs to break into the computer networks of companies located in the US and other Western countries. So unsurprisingly, all indications point to the fact that the Russian government will continue to actively support cyber criminals who offer the state their resources and expertise, using their semi-protected status to engage in illegal activities in cyberspace, provided that those actions are directed against foreign targets. So from my own academic research, all of this tie into what has been described as the Gerasimov Doctrine, whereby Russia's strategic goals are achieved by a seamless fusion of military, technological, information, diplomatic, economic, cultural, and other tactics. So one way to interpret this recent arrest of the Russian CEO of Group IB is that the Russian government is not tolerating any effort by any Russian cybersecurity firm to distance itself or assert its independence from the Russian government. So what that could mean is that first, other Russian cybersecurity firms have no choice than to fall in line. Secondly, there are individuals and organizations in the US and other countries who are observing what is going on within Russia right now and making decisions about the products and services that are being offered by Russian cybersecurity companies, or whether to trust them not to turn over everything to the Russian government. So these people could see this as a sign that Russian companies are not exactly independent of the Russian government, which was something Mr. Sachkov emphasized during his controversial speech at the panel discussion with the Russian Prime Minister back in July of 2020. Apparently, this concern is not unique to the US. For example, looking at the tensions between the US and other countries like China surrounding 5G infrastructure, a lot of that comes back to the concerns that companies in China, such as Huawei, are entirely under the thumb of the Chinese Communist Party. Suppose the government requests those companies to turn over certain kinds of accesses or data. In that case, they are bound to comply both legally and in principle. If there is a sense that Russian companies are beholden to the Russian government in the same manner, then there is a concern for any other country relying on software or hardware from these Russian companies for sensitive purposes. The Russian government has made it clear that anyone who cooperates with foreign governments and helps them investigate cybercrimes will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of Russian law. This is also intended to discourage other individuals and companies within Russia from participating or cooperating in those types of investigations. It is unclear if the recent arrests are designed to protect specific individuals or groups who are operating with the Russian government's implicit or explicit approval, but one thing that is certain is that those arrests are not directed at the most wanted Russian cybercriminals who are currently under indictment by Western law enforcement agencies. Instead, the arrests focus on individuals who are trying to bring cybercriminals to justice. So the writing on the wall indicates that cooperating with foreign governments in cybersecurity cases will not be tolerated. But why go after Ilya Sachkov specifically? Public reporting suggests that Mr. Sachkov stood out in cybersecurity circles as a particularly outspoken individual who does not mince his words or shy away from the public spotlight. Sachkov was a member of the Global Commission on the Stability of Cyberspace, an NGO that tried to foster global dialogue among key stakeholders within cyberspace. He was the only Russian member of the commission, which was made up of cybersecurity analysts, diplomats, politicians, former spies, academics, human rights activists, and others. So his membership in such an organization could likely have raised eyebrows from specific individuals within the Russian government. The timing of his arrest is also interesting, coming during ongoing US-Russian consultations on cybersecurity, which are basically a series of expert dialogues devoted to coordinating the response to ransomware attacks from groups based in Russia that are targeting companies in the US. However, arresting one of Russia's top cybercrime experts suggests that some agents or agencies within Russia's intelligence community are not fully committed to the ongoing dialogue with the US. The problem is that in Russia, a lot of the key figures who are instrumental in building up the software and the underlying infrastructure that serve as the basis for today's ransomware attacks operate and have operated with the blessing of Russian intelligence agencies. And this ties back to the whole problem besetting US-Russia cooperation going back decades. In many cases, you have hackers who have committed crimes outside of Russia, and they have subsequently been identified either by US or Russian officials. Russian intelligence officials would then go to these individuals and threaten them with prosecution unless they agree to work for Russian government agencies. So they tell them who to hack and when to hack them, with the perpetual threat of imprisonment looming over them, basically what is known in Russia as kompromat. Kompromat is short for compromising material, and it is basically any kind of damaging information that may be used to create negative publicity as well as for blackmail, oftentimes to exert influence rather than monetary gain, and also extortion. Some of the key figures involved with ransomware groups such as Revil and Evil Corp either currently work or have worked for the FSB, the Federal Security Service in Russia. So this presents a problem for US officials who try to have some meeting of the minds with FSB officials regarding the scourge of ransomware, not knowing that they have active ransomware operators on their payroll who they protect. The treason case against Sachkov is shaping up to become a landmark investigation in Russia. But to further understand it, let's look at a prior cybersecurity-related scandal that involved a lawsuit against two FSB agents, Sergei Mikhailov and Dmitry Dokuchaev, and also Georgi Fomchenkov, a businessman, and Ruslan Stoyanov, a former Kaspersky employee. All four men were arrested back in December 2016 and sentenced to different prison terms ranging from 6 years to 22 years. Interestingly, a trail of evidence leads from this 2016 case directly to Ilya Sachkov's recent arrest. Sachkov worked with FSB cybersecurity officer Sergei Mikhailov, and he was reportedly involved in prosecuting a prominent Russian businessman who had close ties to the Kremlin, named Pavel Vrublevsky, back in 2011. Sachkov had clear and documentable ties to Mikhailov, and by extension, anyone who is connected to Mikhailov was sure to become targets of Russian officials. So what led to this December 2016 treason case was that back in March 2014, 2 years prior, one of Sachkov's colleagues at Group IB, a man named Nikita Kislytsin, met with FBI agents at the US Embassy in Moscow and provided detailed information on some of America's most wanted Russian hackers. Kislytsin told FBI agents that he had the permission of his boss, Ilya Sachkov, to share Group IB intelligence with the Americans. The FBI agents showed Kislytsin an unsealed indictment naming him in connection with multiple cybercrime charges. So in exchange, he gave them tons of information on several Russian hackers, including Dmitry Dokuchaev, a former hacker who ended up being hired by the FSB to work alongside Sergei Mikhailov in the FSB's cybersecurity unit. Dokuchaev was one of the four men arrested on treason charges in December 2016 for passing state secrets to US officials, especially regarding the cryptocurrency activities and operations of one man in particular, Pavel Rublevsky, who has close ties to the Kremlin. In Kislytsyn's interview with the FBI, he indicated that he was testifying with the knowledge and approval of his boss, Ilya Sachkov, the head of Group IB. Therefore, it is plausible that the fact that Sachkov allowed Kislytsyn to give testimony to the FBI about Russian hackers and cryptocurrency operations way back in 2014 may have also been why the FSB decided to go after Sachkov this time. Another theory that is gaining widespread attention is related to what I mentioned earlier about when Sachkov gave a controversial speech at an event that was hosted by the Russian Prime Minister. So on July 9, 2020, Sachkov attended a conference in Kazan hosted by Russian Prime Minister Mishustin about how to further develop Russia's IT sector. In his speech, Sachkov gave a bold criticism of how the Russian government fails to police its cyber criminals by doing a name check of one person in particular, Maxim Yakubets. Maxim Yakubets is allegedly the founder of Evil Corp, a leading ransomware group. Interestingly, Yakubets is allegedly on the FSB's payroll, and his father-in-law is a prominent FSB Special Forces veteran. Sachkov stated that the way Yakubets flaunts his luxury cars around Moscow makes Russian cybersecurity firms who are trying to export their products and services look bad, and yet Russian law enforcement agencies are not doing anything about it. The question then arises, did Sachkov know that Yakubets was closely linked to the FSB? If he didn't, then that would be a very odd thing to not know about, given his own company's investigations into Russian cybercrime. It is, however, plausible that the controversial July 2020 speech likely brought unwanted attention to Sachkov by certain individuals within the Russian government. To wrap up, I'll expand on an equally plausible theory that I mentioned briefly earlier about Sachkov's arrest. So on Tuesday, September 21, the US announced sanctions on the cryptocurrency platform SUEX OTG, which is registered in the Czech Republic, but is actually headquartered in Russia. So the sanctions were based on the alleged role of that platform in laundering ransom payments that were obtained from cyber attacks and then facilitating transactions involving illicit proceeds from at least 8 ransomware variants. We now know that the investigative actions taken by Group IB, the well-known Russian cybersecurity firm, reportedly influenced the sanction decision by the US Treasury Department. In addition, Group IB's CEO, Ilya Sachkov, personally coordinated several investigations that led to the imprisonment of elite Russian cybercriminals and was outspoken in calling out the inaction of the Russian government in prosecuting them. His subsequent arrest on treason charges was therefore predicated on Russia's newly updated laws that classify the disclosure of information about identified Russian cybercriminals to foreign intelligence services as a treasonable offense. In conclusion, we have this case of a Russian individual who was arrested on treason charges, and there are several theories, all equally plausible for his arrest, ranging from his membership of an international organization whose aim is to set the norms of behavior in cyberspace, his role as a witness in a 5-year-old treason case, his bold comments calling out the Russian government's inactions when it comes to prosecuting well-known cybercriminals, his role in investigating Russian cybercriminals who are suspected in ransomware attacks against US companies, which then led to the first ever sanctions on a cryptocurrency exchange by the US Treasury Department, and lots more theories that we probably don't even know about as of right now. I suppose the main takeaway is that we now know with reasonable certainty, based on the actions of the Russian government and the updated laws of the Russian Federation, that the Russian government will do whatever it takes to protect certain individuals who are accused of certain kinds of cybercrime. The Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions, fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova, audio engineer Sergey Gorsky, graphic design, Stacey Graham, senior producer, Abidemi Ologunde, executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Tobiloba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity's news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdme@thebitpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @bitpicture, on the Clubhouse app @bit, as well as on the Wisdom app @bdme. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.